They came from across America. The Endless Talker, the Horror Host, the Southern Sensation. They meet here in the basement of an abandoned comic book shop for one purpose and one purpose only: to drink from the water cooler of stories and talk about comic books. This is Tales from the Water Cooler.
So, welcome everybody to this week's Tales from the Water Cooler.
Water Cooler!
With us this week, we have...
Infinite Speech.
And Decapitated Dan. This is a twofer, because, I don't know, somebody thinks... what's his excuse? I can't remember it now.
I think he's helping misplaced squirrels and gophers, whose habitats were destroyed now. That's his excuse.
Aww.
Yeah, he's being a humanitarian.
No, he's in Kansas. He's probably out with a mallet trying to do a little real-life whack-a-mole with some prairie dogs.
Either that, or he's chasing tornadoes.
He could be chasing tornadoes.
The storm chaser
or
now.
Maybe he's in Oz.
Ooh.
Maybe that's our new excuse for him. He's just always in Oz.
He'd rather be there than with us.
I've seen that sequel, and I'll tell you what, no.
That thing was creepy, man.
Well, we were kids when it came out. That was terrifying.
No, it was on about a month ago on like Showtime. That shit was still creepy.
You know,
I'm an adult. That was still creepy.
I can't believe you watched it. I don't think I could bring myself to watch that big pumpkin head drive that. I remember him. He was like driving a wagon. That's about all I remember. But to make it even worse, I saw. Oh, I can't believe I can't think of the name of it now. The Michael Jackson Wizard of Oz.
Michael Jackson Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
Oh, The Wiz.
Wiz, thank you. Oz. Yeah.
Yeah, it's The Wiz.
That was creepy.
That's a classic. Creepy. The part in that movie that still creeps me out to this day is when they're in the subway and the columns come alive and start. Yeah, that part still kind of freaks me out. Even as a grown-ass man, I do not like that whole scene. It just makes me feel uncomfortable.
Well, you know, if it made you uncomfortable as a kid, it'll make you uncomfortable now.
Oh, yeah. So,
I was going to say, there's a topic for another show.
Yeah, it is. Let's get off of that one real quick.
It sounds like a what would Infinite Speech do question. So, how was your week?
My week was pretty good, actually. Uneventful and quite peaceful, the way I like it.
Good.
Yep.
Did you get some good reading in?
This week was light on books, so I only got a few good reads. That's about it.
I thought so, too. This week, yeah.
Yeah, I think next week's supposed to be heavier.
Well, see, it's funny because we're recording, and I'm actually thinking this week is next week, so I've got to go back. I had a good week last week.
Last week's books, yeah, they were nice.
There were some good ones, and we'll get to them in a little bit. But one thing I think we need to discuss is we had the big DC 52... And they originally had said that maybe 6 issues in, they would get a feel for what was working and what wasn't. Well, they're going to last it till 8, and then 6 are going to go bye-bye, and we're going to welcome in a new 6.
Womp, womp, womp.
So, the ones getting canceled are, and we'll spend a little time talking about these if we've read them, Men of War. I've never read Men of War.
Neither have I.
Okay, so we can't talk about that. Mr. Terrific?
Read that.
You do read that?
Yeah, that's the one I had some misgivings about the first couple of issues.
Well, you got four good, four bad?
No, they're only on issue 5.
Well, you're going to get to 8 before.
Hopefully. I mean, I didn't like the first 2 issues really didn't impress me. The only thing about it was I was liking the premise of the villain and some of the tweaks they actually made to Michael Holt's character. And then the last couple of issues have actually impressed me to where, you know, I think the series just, it's taken a while to find its legs to get up under it. And those are the past three issues have been a lot better than the first two.
Okay. I haven't been able to check this one out. I actually, looking at the list, I haven't checked out any of these that are getting canceled. And I did try to read a decent amount of the New 52. But okay, OMAC.
No, I didn't read OMAC.
Looking, here's my thing. Looking at the covers of OMAC, I kind of get it. I don't know. I don't know if this is, I'm guessing it's a character that's been around before. Never seen it before. So, I can't say anything. I'm going to save that one for last because I think that's obvious. Blackhawks.
I know which one you're saving for last. Yeah, Blackhawks title never interested me, so I never picked it up.
Blackhawks actually seemed interesting, but yeah, I never actually got to pick that up. And one I'm sure you're not happy with is Static Shock.
Actually, I kind of am.
Oh.
Because I'm going to tell you why. John Rosam is off the book. And he was one of the original writers for Milestone way back in the 90s. When it was announced that he was going to be off the book, I was pretty much sure that the book would not be available much longer after that. Then, as I'm reading it, because I have all the issues so far, and the most interesting character is a guy that looks like the Joker, who we find out is like an undercover cop. Static Story is in and out, but a lot of it reads a lot like the stories that were told way better back in the 90s by McDuffie and all of them when they brought the series out. And I'm like, if all we're going to do is recycle those stories, nah, then we might as well not put out Static, make him a member of the Teen Titans, and keep it moving from right there. Because he's actually going to make an appearance in the Teen Titans book soon in a future issue, so they may just make him a member, even though he won't have his own title. Which sucks because he was strong enough to carry his own title back in the 90s because the writing was so good, the stories were new, and it was fresh then. You can't try to repeat the exact same thing because, you know, no offense to the guys writing it now, you don't hold a candle and you don't write it with that same amount of like passion and, you know, new freshness that the guys who created the character did. So it's not happening. Just do something new and something fun with the character. But, you know, like I said, for then I don't understand why they're like, can't even the titles I don't read and don't like, it's like, okay, you gave them 5 or 6 issues and then you're just going to cancel them. I'm like, is that just the easy way out?
Yeah.
Because like I said, you may want to, I don't know, switch creative teams. Because I'm going to tell you this, the books that have like the higher profile writers and all that, those are the ones that are selling. And the stories are actually good. Because you can't tell me that Swamp Thing and Animal Man would have been, you know, flying off the shelves had they been written by a lower tier writer. Let's get that shit straight now. That's why they put the high profile writers on those books. Because those
Right.
characters aren't of a higher tier. So they're going to give you something else to pique your interest. I'm like, okay, you know, these guys have a pretty good track record. Let me go ahead and, you know, check out the books. And for the most part, they've been good. I mean, I've only read the first 3 issues of Animal Man, but only the first issue impressed me. After that, I was kind of like, eh, okay, I'm bored.
Sure.
Swamp Thing has never been a character that I would collect in a series. He's a character that I, you know, I like in spurts. He can pop up here, impress me, make me go ooh, and then I'm done.
He's a horrible character.
Yeah, I remember you hate him.
Horrible character.
Yeah, but
Like the original, but ugh.
the whole Static line though, like I said, the latest issue I read, they basically put in a recap of what happened, of how we got his powers. I'm like, okay, you wait till issue 5. Everything is kind of like jumping around. Nothing is straight, and you don't know what the hell is going on. And it's got some great little plot points in there, but they haven't been put together right.
Okay.
It's like it was written by somebody with ADHD.
Well, let's make sure we talk about the last one here, and
Ooh.
the last one is something I'm not even gonna read. I don't even have much to say. It's just Hawk and Dove.
Oh, God. I
I
mean,
know the Dove character because she appears in Justice League Dark, and she runs away every time they get a little too kinky for her. Yes, the word is kinky. so I you know what? I think it's just obvious it's Liefeld.
Well, it can't be because they're giving him another title as one of the replacements.
Oh, I didn't look at the list completely yet.
Yep, he will be on one of the replacement titles, I think, artist and writer.
Well, not on this list I got.
Let me see. Maybe I was wrong. I thought he was doing what was it?
No,
I know he's not. I know
doing
he's
the
not
Infinite.
gone.
That's Image.
Oh my God! But no. I know he's not gone for good. I think it. I don't know. For some reason, I think it's Deathstroke. I'm not sure. Yeah,
Oh,
it
okay. So he's
is.
switching. He's not getting one of the new six.
Yeah. Because there was a picture of Deathstroke. It looked like Cable and Deadpool and Shatterstar, as someone put it on the COC podcast, and they hit it up. If you look up the picture, it looks just like those three mashed together.
Oh, was it in the new, their new solicits?
Yeah, you can probably just Google the picture and you'll be like, ugh.
Okay, I will do that. So, okay, well, let's talk about the replacement titles.
For replacement titles.
Here we go. Batman Incorporated, written by Grant Morrison, art by Chris Burnham, the acclaimed ongoing writer of Action Comics. Grant Morrison presents a fresh take on Batman Incorporated, in which the Batman brand is franchised globally. Come on now.
Yeah, because it needs a fresh interpretation only after getting a couple issues before
That's
the new
what I was
52
thinking.
launch.
Wasn't it seriously like six issues?
Yeah, and it's like really we need a fresh interpretation already after six issues. Are our attention spans that short?
If the Batman line already has, I think it's
Enough fucking
eight
books.
titles. Doesn't it have like eight? So
This
you're
is
gonna give it
ridiculous.
nine? You don't need to give it nine. What is this, Marvel?
Pretty
Come on.
much, man. It's like Batman is their X-Men. It's like a ridiculous amount of bat books.
So, okay, next title is Earth 2, written by James Robinson, art by Nicola Scott. The greatest heroes on a parallel Earth, the Justice Society, combats threats that will set them on a collision course with other worlds.
Now, this is actually kind of exciting because everybody was like, are you going to bring the Justice Society in the new 52, blah, 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 blah. Everybody wanted those characters back. And so this will also give DC a chance to slip in a Mr. Terrific on that line because they got to keep their whole minority image up anyway.
That's right. One per every seven issues.
So what it is, it's like, I mean, those people, those fans who have like been waiting for the JS. To come, well, I don't think it'll be the JSA. We'll just call them the Justice Society. They get it here and they'll be pretty excited, though we're on a parallel Earth already. So, yay,
Yeah. So
parallel
maybe they're from the original DC world. And
world.
they're coming to the new DC world, which they haven't spoiled yet, but that's gonna
Nah.
happen. Yeah. So okay, next is World's Finest. The writer is Paul Levitz, and art by George Perez and Kevin Maguire. Stranded on our world from a parallel reality, Huntress and Power Girl struggle to find their way back to Earth 2. Easy, just go back with the Justice Society.
Well,
Problem
we
solved.
don't know where because theirs wasn't specified. But see, what this title will do, also do is satisfy everybody who was pissed off that Power Girl came back as Mr. Terrific's girlfriend with no powers and just, got some weekend loving.
How dare they?
I mean, so, now like people were pissed. How dare DC bring her back as just Mr. Terrific's girlfriend?
Was she at least wearing the shirts, the tight
Well,
shirt or something?
she had a evening dress that had the cleavage window.
Well,
It was an homage to her costume, which
that
was
didn't
looked nice.
satisfy all you fanboy pervs. Come on.
Seriously, man.
Come
Well,
on. I don't read Power Girl. I don't know if it's good or not.
that's
I just know based on looks.
yeah. We all know the infamous cleavage window.
Up next is Dial H by China Meville, and Mateus. Oh, good Lord.
Santoluco.
Santoluco, the first ongoing series from the acclaimed novelist China Melville, is this bold new take on a cult classic concept about the psychological effects on an everyman who accidentally gains powers to become a hero. Sorry, been done.
Now, is there another character that can just dial up random powers? Because it sounded familiar, unless I'm thinking of this, but I mean, it's like, no, I think I've heard of a character that does this at some other point in time, but I'm not sure. It could make for an interesting title because you never know what you're going to get. So it's always the surprise element is there.
Yeah, if it's done right, if you're, I don't know. I think if you're gonna say it's gonna play on the psychological effects on the guy, it might border somewhat invincible.
I mean, he may call up a power that totally screws him in a situation.
I don't see anything here that says he can do whatever he wants power-wise. It just says he accidentally gains powers to become a hero. So I'm thinking the Ray.
No, it's not the Ray,
No,
which is a
I
very
know it's
oh.
not the Ray. I'm just saying that's what comes to mind is the Ray.
A cool book that you happen to hate.
I don't hate it. I'm just not reading it past issue one.
Oh, I'm sorry. Issue two is just as good as one, but we
All
won't
right.
discuss the Ray right now.
All right. All right, let's move on. GI Combat is next with writer JT Kroll, artist Ariel Olivetti, featuring the turn of classic DC comic series, The War the Time Forgot, along with the rotating backup stories by different creative teams, Unknown Soldier and Haunted Tank will show up in there. So, you looking forward to GI Combat?
So it's got the backup stories in there as well, right?
That's what it says.
Yeah.
Rotating backup stories. So
Oh.
it's like a counterpoint to their Western title right now.
Yeah. Yeah, GI Combat is probably a title I won't get. Unfortunately, the only GI book I read is usually an occasional GI Joe title, but mostly just Snake Eyes.
So we're going to
I
get
don't.
rid of Blackhawks to bring in GI Combat.
That'll be the fix for all you fans who miss Blackhawks.
I don't like modern warfare, so give me some old stuff. There you go. Problem solved, I
Well, like
suppose.
World War II, World War I, the Korean War.
Well, hopefully, if we're talking Haunted Tank, it'll be World War II.
Okay.
But I don't know, GI Combat. I think you're talking Korea and Vietnam at that point. I don't know. I don't like the creative teams on this.
None of them?
No. No.
Even Olivetti's art, which is pretty good.
It doesn't come to mind off the top of my head. I'd have to look it up.
Ah.
Yeah. Yeah. Last book is The Ravagers by Howard Mackie and Ian Churchill. Spinning off from Teen Titans and Superboy, this series finds four super-powered teens on the run and fighting against the organization that wants to turn them into supervillains.
Hey. Wow. Runaway, I mean, the Ravagers. I
The Ravagers, that's right.
was going to say Runaways for a
Hey, I
second.
remember this. This was a Marvel title. It was Ravage 2099.
Shut up. Oh, that was a long time ago.
Oh, that comes from someone who must have read it.
Yes, I did fall in that trap.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the Ravagers, like I said, new title. I may take a look at it. But it's like none of these make me go, ooh. Ooh, like none of them do. Especially the Batman Incorporated title. That one,
No, that's the DC one.
that just screams lazy. That screams lazy because DC has a wide collection of characters.
And
Let's bring somebody
do
else.
you not already have Nightwing?
They've got, let me see, they've got the Nightwing title. Batgirl,
But
Batwing. I mean,
none of those people, other than Batwing, all those people are in Gotham, aren't they?
yeah, pretty much.
So how stupid is your system if instead of just going, okay, I'm going to put Robin over here, Red Robin over here, I'm going to give Nightwing over here. Batwing's already in Africa. The whole thing, not just a little.
Oh, he's coming to Gotham for a minute.
No.
Yes, it is. It's coming to Gotham. His story is going to lead over into Gotham in the next couple issues.
Well, you know, if I've got nothing to do, I'm just going to... Yeah, that makes it... Whatever, I don't give a shit. But yeah, I agree. None of these... G.I. Combat, kind of, because of the Haunted Tank and Unknown Soldier. But other than that, I'm not interested. So that brings up our question for the week, which is, you know, with them canceling six, let's do three. You know, what would you want to see canceled? And what would you like to see get a title? And you can't take any of the six that were canceled.
That sucks.
Okay, you can have one. Hawk and Dove.
Well, that's an immediate, because when I first heard that was going to be a title, I'd have been like, I was like, ugh, just kill that one already. I mean, so it's funny because, like, I'm looking at the entire list of 52 books, and I'm like, really? Is Resurrection Man that great? Frankenstein, Agent of Shade, that great? Because I don't hear anybody like screaming that, oh man, I got to get that new Agent of Shade, or Resurrection Man was just killing it this week. No, I don't. You know, even the Savage Hawkman book, I don't, you know, there are so many books here that I don't see, you know, people just clamoring for, whether I'm at the store, whether I'm online. I just don't. I mean, hell, Aquaman still gets talked about more than half of these books.
Well, that gets a leg up because of Johns. And you know true. It does.
True, true. And he's also been mediocre for so long that any improvement is a great improvement.
Of course.
Yeah. But, I mean, I would actually slim down on some of the Bat books. I mean, there's only four Superman books, I think. And I think out of the Bat titles and the Bat family, you've got... Oh, you've also got Birds of Prey. But they need that because that's their all-female book.
Right.
You know, so that's got to appeal to them. You know, you got to keep the girls in there. That's why you've got that, Batgirl, and Catwoman and Batwoman. Okay? That satisfies the core female readership right there. And you've got, you know, the Batman Dark Knight book and Detective Comics, and you got Batman, and then you got Batman and Robin.
I'm not arguing.
I'm thinking we could probably do without the Dark Knight book.
Okay.
We do without the Dark Knight. Because we can do without the Red Lantern book as well. Because it doesn't make any sense. Sorry, if there are any Red Lantern fans, please find me the relevance in this title.
How dare you?
I mean, Green Lantern is barely exciting now.
I hate the color green. I'm the color red.
And let me see. Hawk and Dove. Yeah, that's my that's my mainstay right there that needs to go.
Oh, and wait, I got the leaf field answer. You're not going to like this.
Which one?
Well, oh, wait, it's loading. Keep going. I got to wait for the pictures to load.
Oh, okay. But, and books I would add, well, a JSA book is what I wanted since they announced this, which was great. I actually figured they'd work in titles as the years went on, but I would do that. Let me see. Who else? That's actually the only book I really wanted was a JSA book.
Okay.
I'm figuring if they give like a character their own title, they've got the gallery to do that. Hell, I'd take a title just focused on Bane himself because he's a damn good character.
That's funny because that's something I might talk about here in a second.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, kind of like how you were speaking about American Vampire last week. How come they just can't have a book based on Skinner? You know, the villain, and just keep it like that. I know Bane is like one of those gray area characters now, but I mean, still.
Well, wait till the movie, right?
What? Oh, the Batman movie?
Yeah.
Eh, well.
Might change some things.
The only DC books that I'm really excited about are the minis, that the Penguin mini and the Ray mini have been awesome, and they've actually been better than half of these ongoing titles that they have now.
All right. Well, let's move on to this Liefeld thing real quick. So Liefeld's off Hawk and Dove. He's on Deathstroke, Hawkman, and Grifter. What was that, Dan? Three titles? Oh, yeah, I said three titles.
Oh, my God. Grifter 2?
Grifter 2. Yeah, so that book's done.
And I think those are books they're trying to save, which is why they're putting a higher profile guy on them.
Yeah.
Seriously, because I really don't think they give a damn about Hawk and Dove. They can lose readers on Hawk and Dove, and they're fine.
But Grifter's so pretty looking.
He's pretty? I like
it. No, the art in it now is nice. I like it. Yeah. All right, so we got to get through these because we got to get moving here. Okay, I would cancel Resurrection Man. It's dull. You know, Abnett and Lanning had their chance before to take the series somewhere. They couldn't get it there then, so now they're trying again. Captain Atom would be done. The 2-3 issues I've read of that, no. And definitely Demon Knights. I think Demon Knights is horrible. Absolutely horrible.
I haven't heard anything good about that one.
And yet, they just said something like, what's going to happen in Demon Knights, because it takes place in the past, is going to affect the entire DC universe.
But we're going to kill this title, which means that, you know, the story probably isn't that relevant to begin with.
Well, I don't know. I would have gotten
changed.
I would have gotten rid of it. Okay. And instead I would have brought in, I would have just given Haunted Tank its own title. Mix it in with Jack Comet.
There is a title I would want, and DC would have to do it right this time without offending every Asian person on the planet, but that would be the big, the Great Ten.
The Great Ten.
Yeah, the Great Ten series was an all-Asian super team comprised of 10 members. One of the members is in that JLA international book, and that's General August of Iron.
Huh.
And, yeah, the Great Ten series, I thought it was okay until... You know those books, it kind of gets really uncomfortable to read because you just see all the racial stereotypes in there. And it's like, huh, DC, this made it past, you know, everybody. Yeah, let's. Like the series got so ignorant, like they actually had to cancel it early.
Yeah.
It was supposed to run like 10 issues and it didn't. Yeah, so if they could do it right without pissing off, you know, the whole Asian community and just being, I don't know, stupid when it comes to minorities, it'd be a good title to read again.
Okay. My other two, I think a Joker title where you actually just focus on the Joker and why he does what he does might be kind of cool. And my last one would definitely be to bring back Backlash because you got the Wildstorm universe. That's kind of a given. So, yeah, all right. We spent enough time talking about this DC 52 shakeup. Let's do this. Let's dive into this week's picks.
Whee! Splash.
All right. Our sponsor this week is kind of long. So everybody stay with me, okay? This week's sponsor of the picks is Chicks and Guys Who Dig Time Lords, a Doctor Who-centric conversation. Yes, I said conversation. On Tuesday, February 28th, from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. at the Arlington Heights Memorial Library in Arlington Heights, Illinois, you can meet Lynn Thomas, the author of Chicks Dig Time Lords, an anthology of essays exploring Doctor Who fandom from a female perspective. There will be a book sale and signing at the end of the program. Registration is open until the day of the event unless they do book up early. And you can register at http://bit.ly/chicksdigtl. So I wanted to send a big shout out to Gordon Domowski for... asking us or sponsoring the show this week with this awesome event. If you are a Doctor Who fan in Chicago, I don't see why you'd pass on this.
Wouldn't make any sense.
It wouldn't make any sense. Gordon's big into Doctor Who, and he does a lot here in Chicago for Doctor Who and stuff like that.
Hey, chicks do dig Time Lords, man.
They do. Apparently. I don't know anything about Doctor Who.
Hey, Doctor Who has a huge female following. It's like, wow. That's all it takes, a bow tie and some quirkiness, and you are in there.
It's that sonic screwdriver. that's all I got to say. Okay. Oh, how convenient is it that Chicks Dig Time Lords? There you go. All right, so up first this week, because we didn't talk about it before the show, I'll just go first this week. So my pick this week was Whispers number one. A mentally troubled man is suddenly empowered with the ability to leave his physical body in ghost form and manipulate people in strange and disturbing ways. With this incredible power, will he control his demons or discover even more? This is done by Joshua Luna of the Luna Brothers. He does the writing and the artwork on it from Image. I've read what the Luna Brothers have done before. Well, I shouldn't say I've read everything. I've read Ultra, and I've read most of Girls. I never read The Sword. But to see one of them kind of branch out and do their own thing here intrigued me. I will say the reason that I did pick up this title to begin with, because of the cover. It kind of looks a little spooky, right?
Yes.
No. Insides, no. Not so much. But what I did get treated to was something that was just even better. I just artwork alone, it follows, in my opinion, it looks like the Girls, it looks like Ultra, you know, like, once again, didn't read The Sword, so I can't tell you if it looks like that. But I really do like his style. Color-wise, he seems to have been taken on some new things to try, for the most part. But, you know, artwork overall, the entire thing, it's really nice and it works. I think his expressions on characters don't change too much, though. You know, maybe we can do something a little different just to get a little emotion on the faces. But the real winner here for me was the story. The way, you know, we've all seen TV shows and stuff depicting people with, like, really bad OCD and stuff like that. The writing on this opening scene just floored me because of how, like, spot on it was, like, for someone that that you see who is completely depicted with it. I can't touch that. I can't see if there's something on that. It really got so into his mind that it really worked. And then he goes in to this coffee shop and he sits down with his quote unquote friends, and he wants to tell them something bad happens, and you know, everybody's feeling bad for their friend, and he's just like, well, I want to tell you about my dream, and I want to tell you about this, and he does this amazing job telling the story of, like, he's speaking, but his internal dialogue is going on at the same time, and I just absolutely love it. It's like, fuck you, Rico, and all this. It was just so good. Like, I was hooked. I was completely hooked. And then he goes home, and the OCD thing kicks back in, and they lays down in bed, and, like, the dream that he had the night before, you know, it starts to, like, happen again, and all this other weird stuff, and it's just weird. Like, art-wise, it's good. Story-wise, I was completely floored by this. I absolutely 100% loved it.
You did?
I did.
Oh, okay.
I did. So, well, by that, I'm sure you have something else to say.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Well, you kind of summed up the beginning for me. I felt the same way. The beginning, the opening dialogue was great. Actually, because I know a couple people just like this, and I'm like, wow, this is the exact same conversation I always hear them having. And the inner, well, not even the inner, but the dialogue at the cafe or whatnot, that's kind of real. I mean, you're going to say, hey, but, you know he hates Rico. He's like, yeah, fuck you, Rico, you know, in his mind. But as the story went on, I was like, okay, this is just a book with people with issues, and some of them aren't that interesting. I mean, after he put on boy on blast about wetting the bed, it kind of went downhill for me. From there, I mean, you know, he's trying to test out his new ability. I'm like, okay. The surprise character of his mom, you know, that was like, oh, okay, that was nice. The drugged out girlfriend sequence, I was like, dude, you should have just left. It was a waste of time to stay there, but, you know, it's whatever. And I wasn't too sure about the ending. Well, not the ending, but the cliffhanger.
Okay.
You know, it wasn't bad, it wasn't great, but it was like, you know, I know it's the whole emotional thing, and because he still loves, what's her name, Lily?
Mm-hmm.
He's still in love with Lily, and it's just, dude, you know you're going to go in the house anyway, because nobody can see you, hear you, and you can walk through walls, so you're going to go. And that cover was awesome. That is one awesome cover. That's usually the look on women's faces when I whisper in their ear.
That's the look on Sensation's face when he's accidentally making boom boom.
Oh God. But now if just the artwork in the book, for some reason I liked and hated it all at once. There was something about the everybody had a consistent similar look and similar tan. I mean, because if you look at the guys and the girls, like their whole, the coloring was almost spot on for each of them. And I'm like, not everybody has the exact same pigmentation, but you know, it was still good to look at. The book is easy on the eyes, and he moves the story quite well with the artwork. And the only other scene that really like popped out and that I liked was another one of the OCD scenes when he was washing his hands and trying to get to bed.
Okay.
Yeah, but as a whole, with the story, I probably would like it more in one huge collected novel. Other than that, this isn't, you know, it didn't just wow me.
It's funny, we're all getting to that point where it's like, give me the OGNs.
Yeah, yeah, just give me the one big, thick-ass book for $18.
Especially with the news of all these books get canceled.
Yeah. You know, you don't want that. You don't want to be in the middle of something. And because you don't have, like, the hottest character of the year or the hottest, you know, writer-artist team of the year, they want to cancel your fucking book. And then you're disappointed because the book is actually awesome. And you don't get a complete story. So you know.
I blame this on all the people who are buying X-Men versus Avengers.
I blame it on the people who are so myopic that they think the only good comic books come from the big two. They're scared to go the indie route.
We shouldn't play the blame game. Maybe they don't like us either.
Nah, they cannot like us, but damn it. Support good books. Then the crap books would get canceled.
You say that, but you know what? Green Wake got canceled. What? That's all I can say is, what? So now I have to try to talk Riley and Curtis into doing OGNs just for me.
Oh, see, that's selfish right there.
Well, you know, it's amazing because it's that we're completely going off topic of Whispers here. Sorry, everybody. True. But for a title that was on most websites' best of 2011 lists, and it gets canceled because of poor sales. Come on now.
Yeah, freaking sucks.
It tells you one thing. We are going to be living in the European age of comics, whether we like it or not. We will get OGNs, and I will be happy.
So, oh, hold on. Back to Whispers real quick. Yes. I will say that out of all of the whole drug deal thug scenes I've ever read in a comic, this one flowed the best. Because I so hate it when I'm reading something and some writer throws in some slang from like 1988 thinking that shit is still relevant in the 2000s. And it's so awkward and the pacing and the timing just sucks. But when I see these types of conversations going on, I actually read them like 3 or 4 times because some of them just suck. This one was just, it was pretty much spot on. I was like, wow, am I watching Boys in the Hood? I mean, but it was just, you know, the whole thing flowed naturally. And that's always like a big thing to me. If you're going to try to authenticate a scene like this in your storybook or whatever,
watch Boys in the Hood.
Not even that, but don't try to go outside your zone and just, you know, overdo it. This was nice, subtle, and simple.
Okay.
Which is why it worked. Some other writers, they just try to go the extra mile to make you really think, oh, this is Hood, and it's not. It's plainly some failed, strained attempt at what somebody thinks an interaction on the street would look like or read like. But no, this one was actually rather well.
Okay. So, all right, let's go ahead and rate this. I'm going to give Whispers number 1 a 7.
Oh, I'm okay. See, I don't feel as bad now. Now that you're giving it a 7, I don't feel as bad because I'm giving it a 6.
Okay. All right, up next is your pick. What'd you pick this week?
I picked Scarlet Spider numero uno.
In English, please. Scarlet Spider number one. This is a long one. I'm going to try to summarize. You ready for a brand new web-slinging action with Scarlet Spider number one? Scarlet Spider is a book that can... Oh, good lord. This is what happens when Comixology goes down. Okay. Redefining power and responsibility. No fan can miss the brutal debut of Scarlet Spider number one. Written by Chris Yost, art by Ryan Stegman. That's all I got.
I thought you said it was going to be long.
It was, but I'm thinking most of one of these is like a quote from Yost. So I'm not reading them. I'm not reading it.
All right. Well, and I know when somebody's going to say like, he was just dissing the big two, but his pick is from Marvel. He's a hypocrite. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. Look at my top 10 list of 2011. More in indie books populate the list than anything.
You can find that at
comicattack.net. All right. Scarlet Spider. First of all, very excited it takes place in Houston. For those that don't know, it's where I grew up at. So reading this book, I now know what New Yorkers feel like when they read Spider-Man. It's like, oh, I know that place. Oh, I've been there. Oh, I was just there the other day. That's how I felt while I was reading this. This is Yost is basically writing. This issue was a lot better than what I even imagined, because this character comes from that horrible clone saga that happened way back when Marvel was just confusing the hell out of everybody and pumped out a very crappy story, in my opinion, though I do know two or three people who love the clone saga. And if you have never read the Clone Saga, there is a beautiful recap of all the crap that happened in the Clone Saga, which actually, I don't know if it angered me or excited me, because in like two or three pages, it summed up every single issue that pertained to this character that it was like, oh, okay, I understand. So you understand the character. I mean, he's in Houston. This is like right after the events of Spider Island, where he helps Spidey kill the queen, and then he takes the suit and he leaves. He ends up in Houston. So, I mean, the thing is now he's not the hero type. He's kind of like the anti-hero, but he gets pushed into a couple of situations to where he helps some people, stops a human trafficking ring. But he's a bit of a badass. He's not Peter Parker at all. I mean, after he beats the guys, he takes the satchel full of money, which is something I so would have done. I was hoping that the power thing wouldn't be exact, so they took away the spider sense. He's got a different costume, and he's got a whole different attitude as well. And like Yost does a good job at establishing the character first and foremost. And with the little tweaks and whatnot, it was just great. And the art was phenomenal from beginning to end. I'm so sorry, but like Stegman seriously kicked ass on the whole thing, and it. I don't know. I don't even think there was like one bad panel.
Why are you sorry about that?
Huh?
Why are you sorry about it?
Well, no, I'm not sorry, but it's just like when you see books, any book that's drawn really, really well, and I mean like to where you get the story, you get the art, everything flows consistently. It just pisses you off even more when you see it done the opposite way in another title. You know, that's all. Okay. And it makes you just really want that creative team to stay on the book forever. But I stopped getting my hopes up about that happening a long time ago, because they'll, you know, once the book starts doing well, they'll switch off and get the guys on another title. But I'm hoping these two stay on this title for quite some time. But the best part had to be when he saves the old lady from getting hit by the truck. Mm-hmm. And at the same time he's saving her, he kills the driver. And you see the legs in the air, and as soon as I saw that, I said, oh, shit, he's going to take a face plant right on the concrete. Sure enough, that picture that Stegman drew of the guy with the glass in his face, the body is twisted up and the eyes are rolled back, I was like, that is the best scene in this entire book.
Did you like how, and I'm guessing that this was done on purpose, that the blood on him in particular had to be black?
Why did it have to be black?
I'm guessing it's a Marvel thing to show that he's not bleeding to death, even though there's blood on the ground that's red.
Oh, so that just may be like a censor thing or
Possibly,
something. I don't know.
possibly.
And Yost, I don't know if he's from Houston, been there, hung out there, but the line about the humidity early in the morning, so true. My man said, my sweat is sweating. I'm like, yes, that's how we feel at 8:30 in the morning when it's already 98.8 million degrees outside. But I mean, yeah, it was just great from beginning to end, and I want to see more about the villain that's after the one girl. So I'll pass it on to you.
Well, I don't know how much more I can add without
I
just
know,
echoing
I was
everything
like
you said.
yammering.
Yeah, you really just sums it up. I mean, I liked the Ben Reilly costume. I liked the Scarlet Spider costume. So when this was coming out, and then we read the other one, and we knew it was going to be Kane going. I have to say, thank you so much for that recap. Because there's stuff in there that I don't remember and stuff like that, but you're right. It completely summed it all up. It really did, and it did this amazing job. It explained, why Kane looked the way he did prior and how he is now. And there was nothing to really not enjoy about this. Artwork was just phenomenal. And Yost, I mean, Yost was amazing when he was doing New X-Men. So, that I can't say that I've actually read something I didn't enjoy by him. And I'm gonna throw this out there, and you're probably gonna disagree with me, but with Slott not doing Spider-Man amazing this past week, this book just blew it out of the water. I couldn't stand that issue of Amazing Spider-Man.
Was it because of Rios's art?
No, it had nothing to do with the art. It was the story completely.
I think you hate Daredevil. That's all.
I think I don't like Mark Waid.
Why?
I don't know. I just did not like that story. I
I
was like,
did
"Where's
like that
Slot?
issue.
What? Where's Slot?"
Yeah, I was the same way. But I did like that issue, but this was better. But see, I also know why I like this issue more, because it's like I said, I finally feel how some New Yorkers feel when they read Spider-Man
Right, well,
and
let's
that
talk about
whole.
that because that's a question I have for you. What, other than the humidity thing, I mean, did you notice some landmarks?
Noticed landmarks, even the highway signs. I'm like, and that's what like a lot of people like get wrong. Like that sign for 59. Yeah, that's it. The medical center there, that's it. So I'm like, ah, I'm home. So when I miss home, I'll just make sure that I have a copy of a Scarlet Spider.
There you go.
Now, did you notice anything about the cover? Because my whole thing about the cover was, it looks nice, but that shit just looks like he sneezed and webbed everywhere, and he's fighting furiously to get out of his own webbing.
Yeah, he is all wrapped up in it with his arms and his legs. I don't know. I think that's a weak spot. I think the cover is a complete weak spot when you look at the inside of this book. It is. I don't know. It's just one of those things. But like you said, this villain is really cool. I really want to know more about this villain. I loved the fact that he took the money at the beginning. Like I said, I'm just gonna echo all the things that you did here. Completely love the fact that he saved the old woman and the other guy had died because of what he did. It's those are such at a certain point, those are such small things. But they also go to show this isn't Peter Parker.
Exactly.
And I think that hopefully will play out because they kind of push you on that the entire time. This isn't Peter. He's not going to do this and he's not going to do that. Try to look at my notes here, see if there's anything I forgot. Okay, now how come, you might know this, how come he can shoot the webbing out of his wrist?
What do you mean, how come he can?
Well, Peter can't.
Because he's got the web shooters.
Yeah. But how, is there a reason that Kane can do it out of his wrist?
Not that I know of. Somebody else, if you know the answer, let us know.
Send it to Aaron, Aron, at Comic Tech.
.net.
Spider-Man
Or
fan.
let us know on the Facebook page.
That's right. You should definitely let us know on the Facebook.
Yeah, just let us know on the Facebook page.
After you become a fan.
Yes.
And maybe
Now,
this week's sketch card of Scarlet Spider will go to you.
I guess the only problem I had with the issue, those spiders on the first few pages were starting to annoy me.
Oh, yeah.
Now, and then
It
it was kind of confusing when he was about to attack, you know, the huge army of spiders that ran out, and then we don't, I was like, can he control spiders now? It would seem kind of hokey, but I'm like, or did he just, does he run around with a couple of spiders and like, you know, ha, you know, free. It was just weird. That was probably the only part that I was like,
That was a lot of bullets too.
Oh, that he dodged.
Yeah, that was a lot of bullets. That
Yeah, I
was
had
like
a picture moment
that
there.
was like that episode, that issue of Black Panther with Lady Bullseye.
Oh my God, yeah.
So, all right, well, we've got about 10 minutes to try to wrap the entire show, so let's move on. What do you rate this one?
I rate this one an 8.
I give it an 8 as well. Fantastic book. I think everybody needs to check this one
Yes.
out.
Spider people. Scarlet freaking spider.
All right, let's take a look at our backup picks. This week, my backup pick is The Strain number 2. Anyone, you know, it was a dollar to pick up number 1. So if we covered it and if you didn't want to pick it up after that, well, all I'm going to do is tell you that number 2 was like 10 times better than number 1.
10 times better.
10 times better. You finally got, it's still a lot of intrigue and mystery to it. But you started to get some deaths here and there. You're starting to really develop the characters some more, and it to me, it was just absolutely phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. It's number 2, and the series just kicks ass.
Damn.
So how about you?
All right. I have two backup picks. The first one, I'm going to have to go with Battle Scars, number 3. If you're not reading it, pick it up. It's one of the best things coming out of that whole Fear Itself thing. And your boy Taskmaster shows up again, Dan, and he's kind of pissed because Marcus Johnson got away. He stabs the shit out of Deadpool. And I was nervous, you know, any book with Deadpool in it, sometimes he's a little overused. But he, you know, he came in, he did his thing, and he was out. You know, it was good. My other pick will be the Cobra Annual, the origin of the new Cobra Commander in IDW. The book was great. Like, Dixon writes this great new Cobra Commander who actually feels like he's a badass when compared to the guy who was a used car salesman that rose up through the ranks and became the commander in the original Cobra series. This guy here, like, once you realize who he is and who the guy that is that won the whole Cobra Civil War, this is basically his backstory. And it is a very good one and a solid one. And he looks like he's going to be a commander that'll keep putting his foot in G.I. Joe's ass. Because right now they've been on the defensive for over a year and a half now. And I'll also throw in the raid number 2, just because I know Dan hates it.
I don't hate it. I don't hate it. I'm not. I'll get to my hates here in a second. all right. Stay away from us this week. My first, I got 3. My first is going to be Dark Matter number 1. And the only reason I'm saying this is because if you saw the movie Pandorum, yes, the three of you out there who did, that you've seen Pandorum, haven't you?
No.
Okay. The maybe Dark Matter would appeal to you. But it was the exact same opening. I'm not gonna lie. I got 12 pages into it and was reading something I'd already saw on the big screen, so I stopped. So for that reason alone, no. Number 2, everybody's gonna love me for this one, but it's Severed number 6. The series is, I'm sorry. All the people who say this is horror done right. I'm calling out the people on the chirps. No, if you say this is horror done right, this is blah blah blah, no, it's not. This is so slow. We're on 6 out of 7 at this point, and it's still so slow. Don't tell me that. And the artwork's starting to get sloppy. I don't know if you've read Severed 6 yet, or you're planning on reading it, but
Do you honestly think I'm planning on reading the rest of Severed?
no, not at all. I'm just
Okay.
like, okay, but it's getting sloppy, folks. It's getting sloppy. Just because a certain name's attached to it, let's stop, cradling the balls and kissing the asshole.
Oh my God, yes, please. Just because he's your favorite writer, and this goes to any writer, just because you have a favorite writer does not mean everything they write is going to be fucking gold.
No.
No, they're going to write a few duds here and there because they're human.
Look how many people, just to point this out, look how many people love Fraction on Captain America and what was the other one? Fantastic Four, I think. He was just killing those books. Well, look what he did to X-Men.
Yeah, some people just hate it. Some people, I mean, it's just everything they write will not be gold.
It's reading. It's totally subjective. Everybody likes something different. Everybody likes something different. This is just my opinion. Severed sucks. So, finally, this one goes out to my boy Jeff because Docket 19 completely. They weren't the Runaways. They weren't the Runaways. You know? How do you get it that wrong? You know, 18 was hit or miss, but on 19, it got so overboard. The art went even worse. Molly's apparently 20 instead of 13 now. And, I can't shake this one off. You got it. It was more art-wise, but you just got it so wrong. So wrong. Oh, it also goes out to my creepy uncle Eli over a comic attack. So yeah, all right. I'm done with my stay away froms.
Right, mine will be, and it hurt my feelings to even have to go here with this title because it's one of my favorites, but it'll be Darkness 97. Started off great with Jackie killing himself to enter into the darkness realm, and now it's just some creepy, freaky story right now that this issue wasn't fun to me. Like the rest of them, like I'm actually enjoying Jackie more in like the artifacts line and his little brief appearance at the beginning of Witchblade 151. But in his own title, the storyline that they're winding down with to the big issue 100 just it's just not fun. So I'm hoping 98 picks up, but 97 just was nah.
Are you excited to look forward to the David Hein takeover?
Writing wise,
Yeah.
I'm giving it a shot. It's just art wise I'm nervous about because I like Jeremy's artwork in Artifacts, like I made it known on several of the reviews, like I really wasn't feeling it. Like some parts were just real great when he would do like these the elaborate futuristic landscapes, and then after that, when it came to the characters, it was like, and I don't like his interpretation of the darkness costume on the character. It just looks to me.
Okay. The reason I say that is because David Hein's coming up on an upcoming episode of Discussions.
Well, hey, speak with him about that.
I already talked to him about
Oh, okay, so you already did it, huh?
it's in the future. Oh, time machine! Quick, back to the DeLorean! All right, you got any other stay away froms?
Nope, that was it. Just the darkness.
Okay. That kind of wraps up this week's show. So, as always, we want to thank everybody for listening here. And big apologies last week. The intoxication apparently made me say TMZ instead of TMV Cafe. So, yeah, you can always check out the show Tuesday nights. Go to TMVcafe.com to check out what time it actually airs. But it does air live each week. Otherwise, you can definitely check it out at Comic Tech.
Dot net.
Where, everything is there. Even a review of Battle Scars got posted today.
See, there it is. See, there it is, people. I speak it and it happens on comicattack.net.
So there's that. You can check out the other podcast discussions with Decapitated Dan. You can check out the COC. You just guessed it on the COC.
Yes, I did. There's a new fight, Beta Ray Bill versus Exodus in the ruins of Genosha. It was kind of a heated battle because our fearless leader wasn't able to make it, so I actually stood in for him accidentally defending the character of Exodus. But it got great, and it's a pretty big battle. So go there, vote Beta Ray Bill or Exodus. Who's going to come out on top? Who will be the top dog? Because I think the winner of this, depending on who wins, this is the championship match.
Oh.
So you know, this is
Very
for
cool.
all the marbles,
So it's
all the.
coming, definitely coming down to the wire.
Oh yeah, down to the wire.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, but you can also check out chirps, reviews, news, previews. I just did a review over there of a book called One Model Nation by Dandy Warhol's frontman, Courtney Taylor Taylor. You can check that out. And yeah, you could also, like I said, everybody over at TMV Cafe and Comic Tech. Done.
.net.
Oh,
I was hoping that, you know, he would pop up and just say it, and I'd, you know, it'd be like, oh, he's back, but no, he's not.
No, not this week. And hey, this is, for everyone out there, this is number 49, so next week we have the big 50.
The big 50. We're getting old quick.
You know what's scary is when we hit the 52, because we got to talk year terms.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I know.
We'll be one.
Well, you know what? We have missed like 2 weeks, so technically, possibly next week would be our 1 year mark. If gotcha. We should do that. We should take 2 weeks off every year. That way, we always hit. So yeah. So everybody, thank you for listening this week, and we will talk to you all next week.
As always,
don't lose your head, folks.